I knew God would give us that opportunity to be together. I was going to send the church a thank you card, and I said, no, I'm going to hold off because God's going to let me come and thank you personally. And I do, I want to thank y'all for the support, the prayers for Rhonda and I. Before I get into the word, I was talking to the sister. You know, the little ordeal on this, all this, but I question God, why? And I sometimes think, like up in Texas, Canada. Now there was 4 or 5 days. I don't even remember the intensive care days. I really don't remember a whole lot about them because they kept me full of morphine and Dilatinol, chasing one another because my leg hurt when the blood clots got in it or whatever what the case was. This was sore, but that hurt. And I remember laying there before they amputated my leg, and a thought come to my mind. I was kind of just ready to give up, and then I thought, how Jesus must have felt. Because my mind went back to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And the Bible says his sweat become like drops of blood. And he asked the Father, Father, if it be your will to take his, remove his cup. Nevertheless, not mine, but your will be done. And there were some days that I just wanted to give up. But, and I'm not by no means tooting Brother Chris's horn, but it seemed like to me when the time was needed for somebody to be there, God had him by that bedside. And I want to say to y'all about your pastor, and y'all already know it. What you see is what you got. A man that loves God and loves people. Amen. That we all should have. But I want to thank y'all again for your prayers, your support, and ask that you continue to pray. We're a long way down the road, but we're not at the end of it yet. And I told my church this morning, I was preaching on a totally different subject this morning, but it come to my mind. You know, John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're not careful, church, we'll get hung up on part A of that verse. We get hung up, and that gives the enemy the opportunity to come in and do what he does best. But if we would just get behind me, Satan, I have no... You lost that battle in 1999. But if we would read the rest of that verse, the life that Jesus has come to give us, But we get hung up on a lot of things sometime that we need to just stop and look to the Lord. But God has been faithful through all of this.
Amen.
And there's a purpose for everything. And we were talking a while ago, if it wasn't nothing else but and I may be wrong because I was on that stuff up there for a few days, but Rhonda told me that there was never a nurse, a doctor, house cleaning person that come in that room that they didn't get to hear about Jesus. And if it wasn't nothing else for that right there, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So tonight, we're going to look in the book of John, the 21st chapter. Then we'll read verses 3 through 6 and then drop down to 15 and read through 17. Get this down here where I can see it. I got the... Verse 3 of chapter 21. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered to him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Jump down to verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity that you have given us to be here. And Lord, as we look at these words tonight, I pray that you just minister to our hearts. I thank you for each one's here tonight. I thank you for this church and Brother Chris and this church family, Lord. And Lord, above that, I thank you for the friendship that you have allowed us to have. Father, speak to our hearts tonight as only you can. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and the praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Get on the right side.
Amen.
I might need to say that again. We need to get on the right side. We need to be on the right side. But events leading up to this moment, Peter had denied Jesus. Through the sound of a rooster. Lord, help us. And Jesus allowed Peter to see who he really was. He allowed him to see who he really was. And it was not who Peter thought himself to be. Church, Jesus will let us see who we really are. And I'm not the judge of anything, but I believe more times than none, it's heartbreaking to us. And after the event, Peter says, I go a-fishing. What he said in verse 3, he was a spiritually and emotionally beaten man that was at his lowest point of life at that time. Let me ask us the question. Have we been there? Have we been there? And he must have felt that his best days were behind him. And I think a lot of times we feel the same way. We think our best days are behind us. Church, that's why the rearview mirror is so small in a car. We don't focus much on our past, but we look to the future of where we're headed. Even at our lowest point in life, we should still give God all the glory.
Amen.
I laid up in that hospital bed 22 days, I think I was there. And I'm serious. I had it in my mind that God couldn't use me. Because, why? I was probably focusing on John 10:10, part A. I had let the devil come in, and when he finds our weak spot, that's what he uses. And he'll tell you all day, oh, you're through. You're not worth it. You're not going to be able to do anything. But listen, God was faithful through all of it. I had a preacher ask me or tell me, he said, God didn't call you to preach because of your legs. I tell you that. I understand now. No need talking anymore. Good evening. I'll see you later. But God calls us because of our heart. But Peter must have been felt his best days were behind him. They fished all night, caught nothing. And Jesus says, children, have you any meat? Just in that word was a message. I still love you and you're still mine. in our lowest point of our life, and when we're ready to throw the towel in, or when we're up on that mountain, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus still loves us, and we're still His.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Have you got any meat? Do you have any goods? The answer was no. In verse 6, cast the net to the right side of the ship. They were casting on the wrong side spiritually. Church, if we're not careful, we'll cast on the wrong side spiritually. There really can be a right and a wrong sized cat.
Yes.
We'll bring out three things here tonight. Number one, if shadows are being cast in the water, it can make a difference. What kind of shadow or image is being cast in the place where we are fishers of men? Are we preaching? Are we preaching one thing but living another thing? Lord, help us. You see it every day. We preach one thing and do totally different the other way. My friend, tonight, if we're going to talk it, we better be walking it.
Amen.
Because that's why it is so hard to win the world. We're not going to win all of them, but I believe we could win more of them if the church would come back and start being the church. My welcome may be out here in a minute. But if we're going to preach one thing but live another, we just well close our Bibles and leave here.
Yeah.
If we're going to walk it, if we're going to talk it, we better be walking it. And that God is going to be faithful the whole route. The world's going to hate it, but God will be faithful. I've told my church, and I've said this ever since we've been over it for a pretty good while. If it ever comes to compromising God's word, I'm out. I hope God, He knows my heart. If I ever compromise His word, I hope He takes me out right then. Preacher, that's a hard statement. There's too much compromising going on already.
Amen.
Even in my, and I don't get all up in a lot of, even some people here locally look at me a little different than they do others, but that's fine too.
Amen.
If it's in, God says it, that's it. Right. We've gotten away from this, says the Lord. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, for the love of the money is the root of all evil, which while some covenant after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Number two, if the boat is setting on underwater contour, making one side deeper than the other, Church, just sometimes a couple steps to the other side of the boat can make all the difference in the world. Jesus calls us to a deeper step of faith. You may not can see under the boat and see what is beneath, but one step of obedient faith can make all the difference. Amen. I think the worst thing that we can do is become comfortable. Become comfortable in our little fishing hole. Oh, that's my spot. I'm comfortable there. Lord, help us. That's my spot. I'm comfortable there fishing. That's my side of the boat. Unwilling to walk by faith. Get comfortable in one spot. When we're on the left side, we need to be over on the right side. But we're comfortable here. This is my spot that I fish at. And I'm unwilling to get up and move. Let me say tonight, church, unwilling to walk by faith because there will come a day. If you hear nothing I've said tonight, there will come a day when Jesus will say, "Do you have any meat? Do you have the goods?" And I've just been sitting over here on the left side in that comfortable place. That seat was comfortable. And that spot, that's where I fish. And then I've caught nothing. And he'll ask us, "Do you have any goods?" Just like he did them. And the only answer we're going to be able to say is no. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Saddest words to me, I think, in Scripture. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker. Ye that work iniquity." I set before you tonight I think I said it over at Brother Vernon's. I spoke over here a while back. I know I have it at my church. I had a person ask me say something to me one time. "Well, I don't know if so and so is saved." And my answer was, "I don't know if anybody in this congregation is saved but me."
That's right. Amen. Amen.
We're living in a time where I hope, I think that I'll make it to heaven. My dear friend, I don't care. You can set, soak, and sour. You can tithe to the 50% if you want to. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, You will not make heaven. You can have it on 43 church rows. That does not count. What a sad day that's going to be for many a people. It's time to get on board. Number three. Underwater current can drift the bait. And the current can be different from one side to the another. Sometimes it seems that sometimes it is that unseen pull that can tangle you and ensnare you. The enemy. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then, when the lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. It's one thing. It's one thing to fall into sin. And they're in the faith. But to stay in the sin. But to stay in the sin. And allow sin to work in us by pulling us away from our faith, our devotion, our passion for our Lord. We're in a time, we're in an age where people don't look at it living in sin like, oh, it's nothing to it. I've had it to throw up at me before. We'll look at King David, what he done. Yeah, he had to cover up one sin to commit another one to cover that one up. But God. But God.
Amen.
But God. When you get over in Samuel chapter 12, where he sent the prophet Nathan to him, how do you think David must have felt when Nathan said, "You the man"? There's a difference between falling in sin and living in sin. David, he wallowed in it, but if you read Psalms 51, he come clean with God. Peter and the others were on the wrong side of the boat. Church, if we're not careful, we'll get on the wrong side of the boat. When finally at shore, they have eaten from the meat that Jesus had. He had the goods, and he still has the goods. Jesus turns to Peter and asks three times, "Do you love me?" Each time, Peter would answer with more passion, "You know that I love you." And Jesus would say, "Feed my sheep." He was telling Peter, "I don't want you to just say it, But I want you to get on the right side of the boat and do it. Church, he don't want to just hear us say it. He wants us to get on the right side of the boat and love him. And love people. We can't love people if we don't love Jesus. Amen. Jesus wants us to know that he loved, that he wants us to know that love requires not only attitude and words, it requires action. And I think we get that word love, we blow it plumb out of proportion. I preached on some of that this morning. It's easy to tell someone you love them if they love you, or if they're good to you or something like that. It's easy. Our actions should show. Because if we've got Christ in us, we're the way that we're supposed to have, it's no problem loving the bum that's walking down the street. I've done prison ministry for many years. People say, I don't see how you do it. Why do you do something like that? I went in and filled in a church one Sunday, just filling in for a pastor, or they didn't have a pastor. And the lady asked me, she said, what do you do for a living? I said, oh boy, here I go. I said, I drive a log truck and I work up at Domino in the wood yard a lot. And I do prison ministry. She said, you do what? I said, I do prison ministry. Ride a motorcycle. She said, God has got a special place for them kind of people. Lord help us. Love. We try to size sin up to build it up to what level. My friend, that little white lie we swept under the rug is no different than anything else. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And God's not going to look down on it. Jesus wants to know that love requires not only attitude and words, but it requires action. Amen. Jesus wants us to know tonight there must be intensity to our love for him. Amen. And our love must be deep. And Jesus wants us to know tonight, when we truly love him, his desires become our priorities. Amen. When we truly love him the way that we should, His desires become our priorities. And we'll get on the right side. We'll get out of that comfort zone. When our true love to him, we'll want to do the things that he desires us to do. Question was asked one time, I wish the Lord would use me more, this, that, and the other. take care of the little things He's already give you. Take care of the little things that He's already allowed you to have and do. And if we get our heart right with Him and do the things, His desires become our priorities, my friend, He'll wear you out.
That's right. Amen.
Tonight. Are we on the right side? Or are we just sitting in our comfort zone? Sitting, soaking, and souring. We need to be out about the Father's business. So much that He's given us. That we offer Him so little. The sister was singing that song that Brother Chris was talking about a while ago, that lighthouse. Where would we be? Sherry and Richard know me from back in the day. And it wasn't nothing but darkness. But thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for that light.
Yes, amen.
That light that shone April the 11th of 1999. And it's, I'm not as faithful as, I wish I could. I'm not going to stand here before any of you tonight and say, oh, I'm all just, but thank God. When there were so many times for the enemy to take us out. So many times. I fell in a worm bed one night and looked around and I was the only worm in there. Broke ribs and all. But thank God that light shone. Because there was a man stood up one morning and he said, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? I said, I'd spend it in a burning hell, and I do not want to.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I know You're not in the deal-making business. But the day I got saved, the morning I got saved, I spread my arms out just like this right here. I said, Lord, if You can take and use any part of this, You do it for Your glory. And have never looked back since then, 24 years. If we'll be faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to us. He's going to be faithful to us. It's a lot of days, and still to this day, I come home from the hospital, and I'm truthful. We were in a living room, just Rhonda and I. I've been home, I think, one day or 2 days, and I had a meltdown. Totally depending upon her to do. Haven't been in the backyard in 3 months. But God has been faithful through all of this.
Yeah.
And when that cloud, when that enemy puts the cloud up there to kind of darken things, just reach up and move it over and let the sun, let the light shine through.
Yes.
And God will be faithful.
Amen.
Father, we come before You tonight.